Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey, glad to have you around. It's the Press Box. I'm Zach Natto.
I'm Eric Fox.
And I'm Lita McLeod.
And today we have a very, very special guest joining us today. He's a basketball expert, football expert, and all-around great guy. Please welcome Kellen Turner.
Hello, hello. What a time to be alive.
Now, to start things off, we're going to talk about the Ottawa Blackjacks and their newest signing, Kyle Johnson. He's a 6'5" guard from Toronto, Ontario. He's played 250 games all across Europe, averages over 10 points. Eric, what do you think of this guy?
Do you know that this guy's going to be another workhorse to add to the Blackjacks' already pretty bolstered squad that they have set up with all the signings that we've talked about in previous weeks?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, this guy has 10 years of professional experience under his belt. It's going to be incredible to see what he can bring to the team based off that experience. He was an Olympian, for crying out loud, in the 2012 Olympics, played in 5 games there, and even went to the 2018 World Cup. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this guy gels with the rest of the team.
It's a solid pickup for a team that's really trying to, you know, find its identity in this new league. With a league starting up that's trying to compete with Eurobasket, with the Australian League, signing a guy like this who brings you name recognition from across the other leagues really helps add to the foundation of your franchise.
Exactly. And we're going to be looking forward to the 3-game homestand starting June 24th when the Ottawa Blackjacks take on the Niagara River Lions. So I'm really excited for that. And as long as we're talking about Ottawa sports, why don't we switch on over from Ottawa's AHL team, the Belleville Senators, and talk about their past couple games. So Eric, did you get a chance to check out the game on Friday?
Yeah, they had a couple really nice wins over the last couple days. Friday, the game against the Laval Rocket, it was a huge game for the BSens, for their confidence, and to be able to hopefully get a playoff spot. Not exactly sure where they're going to be in regards to the playoffs and how that's going to work, but definitely a great game.
Tied the game right after Laval scored, Colby Williams scoring, Igor Sokolov following up with a power play goal. It was a great performance by the whole team, and Logan Brown got his first goal of the season, so that was pretty awesome to see. And then on Tuesday, they took on the Manitoba Moose with a little back-to-back action with, you know, score-wise, beating them 4-3. I think it was another great performance by Mad Sogard.
Since he's made his debut in the AHL, has just played lights out. And to get those back-to-back 4-3 wins on Friday night and Tuesday, on top of the first two that we talked about last week, it's just absolutely incredible to see him play so well in his first few games in the American Hockey League.
And honestly, I'm just really excited for Igor Sokolov to get his call-up, because he's been playing lights out so far this year. And he got the game-winning goal in Tuesday's game in a shootout. So looking forward to seeing what he brings to the table and the team going forward. Overall, it was a great performance by the Belleville Senators. And the Sens also had a bit of a great Saturday as well, right, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, following up their big win 5-1 versus the Habs on Wednesday night, they went into Winnipeg and faced off against the Jets, coming away with a big 4-2 win. And the story of that game was none other than first-year rookie extraordinaire Tim Stützle from Germany, who got his first career NHL hat trick in that game. And we'll touch on it a little bit here, but there was actually a really awesome moment once the team returned to Ottawa after an unfortunate 6-1 loss on Sunday night to the Flames. Stützle was at home with his housemates, Brady Tkachuk and Josh Norris, and the neighborhood kids all lined up against their back fence with masks on and everything and started tossing hats into their backyard in celebration of his first career hat trick, since, as we all know, there's no fans in the stands, so no hats were able to fly during his first career hat trick. So an absolutely incredible gesture, and Stützle had some really awesome words to say about the kids, and we'll check it out here.
I don't really, like, I was just realizing that it went viral when I saw it on TSN and stuff, and everybody posted it, so it doesn't even have to go viral. It was just an unbelievable thing they did to me, and that it went viral was just another thing which was really good for seeing how the fans in Ottawa are, and the guys in Germany saw it the next day, and I received a lot of texts how beautiful that is, and what a nice thing, and my parents saw it as well, and they were, yeah, really happy for how the fans tweet the players here, and that's just great to see.
So what do you guys think about his reaction, as well as just the thought from the neighborhood to be like, hey, this kid is 18. He got his first NHL hat trick. No fans were able to be there. So let's throw these hats over the fence, so to speak.
I think that's fantastic. It's a great way to get the community involved, but still be safe about it. And like, that's something this kid's going to remember the rest of his life.
I think it goes to show you that Stützle is just not necessarily hometown, but he's a homegrown kind of player. He's going to get involved with the community, and the community is going to appreciate him for that. I think it just is another example of how much of a stud this kid is in the Ottawa community.
I think if you're a Sens fan, you have a lot to look forward to next season. This time, I mean it. I think this offseason will be great for the Senators.
The fact that the Sens have finished on such a high note, it's definitely going to make it interesting to see what they can do next year and what they can do with the expansion draft coming up for the Seattle Kraken, as well as just the free agency and any signings. And I mean, I would say if I was Pierre Dorion, the first step is give Brady Tkachuk that long-term deal, give him the captaincy, and get that solidified for the next X number of years. So here we go.
And that's going to cut it for this segment. Stick around, though, because we're going to be talking about the NBA with the Raptors, Russell Westbrook, as well as McDavid's history-making night in the NHL, and more. So stick around, guys. You're listening to The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hello, hello. Once again, you're listening to The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. We're going to be talking some basketball, and Kellen Turner's in the studio with us. He's going to be giving us his hot takes and very fresh opinions. Kellen, what's the biggest news in basketball right now so far? I know there's a lot to talk about.
So looking at the landscape of basketball right now, easily the biggest story is, as it has been since he's come into the league, LeBron James. So the Lakers currently sit at 39-30, which is good for, I believe, sixth in the West right now. And a lot of that is because LeBron's been hurt. I mean, he's missed, I believe, nearly 30 games this season. He's missed their last five straight. But it's looking up, Lakers fans. Don't get too down, because last night your guys did win by a whopping 2 points against the New York Knicks. Very impressive, Lakers fans. Very impressive. Anthony Davis with 20 points, 4 assists, and 6 rebounds, going up against Julius Randle, who had 31 points, 5 assists, and 8 rebounds. What have you guys been thinking about LeBron this season?
Well, I know how mad he is about the play-in round, and I know he didn't have a problem with it when he didn't have to play in it, but you know, it is what it is. I guess I've got my issues with the play-in round as well, but LeBron, I think, is going to be just fine for the once the playoffs start, and once he gets going, he won't stop.
So long as he can stay healthy, he's definitely a threat.
Yeah, I fully agree. It's one of those situations where if he's healthy or healthy-ish, he'll still be able to dominate. He's still a pretty dominating player, as much as I personally can't stand the guy. I'm beyond happy after the stat came out a couple weeks ago when the Raptors faced off against the Lakers that said he hasn't won a single game against the Raptors since he moved to LA. So the end of the whole LeBronto thing that was going on there, where he just dominated the Raptors every single time he played them.
I mean, looking at the Lakers right now, potentially facing a play-in round spot, definitely not where you want to be as the defending champions. All I can say is that LeBron, I never wish someone to be hurt, so I do hope you're back on the court soon, and I hope you immediately lose and get the heck out of the playoffs so literally anyone else can win.
I was just going to ask, Kellen, do you have any early predictions for who's going to take the championship this year?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I mean, there's a lot of different ways it can go. Honestly, a lot of it depends on health. If the Lakers are healthy, they're obviously still in that title contention. But you got teams like Utah, you got teams like Phoenix, who have kind of been that steady, you know, hard-hitting competition all season. And then looking out east, you still have the Brooklyn Nets of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, who have only played like 10 games together this season. So a lot of it depends on health. If everyone's healthy, I have a hard time believing someone can beat the Brooklyn Nets 4 out of 7 games.
It really is like a super team, isn't it?
Dude, like, they're so good. Blake Griffin off the bench. Oh,
Yeah, I could not put money against the Nets if they are 100% healthy in the playoffs. There's just no way. It's going to be domination from left, right, and center. Like, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of need some Space Jam magic to beat that team.
They are the Monstars. They are literally the Monstars. Anyone who watches basketball already knows Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant alone were scary when they got together in the offseason. Adding James Harden and Blake Griffin with arguably one of the more decent supporting casts in the NBA with guys like DeAndre Jordan. Yikes. So you kind of touched on this earlier, Zach, with LeBron not liking the play-in round. There's many emotions that I kind of feel when I think about the play-in round. My biggest is, why did the NBA bother? Like, I get it. COVID kind of hit. The bubble certainly didn't make them a lot of money. So they were like, how can we get people to come to games, assuming they'd be allowed back in by the time the play-in round started? But, like, leave the one-off tournament-style stuff for March Madness, because your players already hated the season starting so early after the last one. And then including something like the play-in round where the 10th seed team could beat the 8th seed team, and the 8th seed doesn't even get a better draft pick from it. It kind of feels like the NBA just drew this on a board and went, why not? Who's going to notice? It'd be like if the NHL was like, hey, what if we had the Edmonton Oilers face the Ottawa Senators? And if Ottawa wins, Edmonton gets literally nothing for it. I get that they wanted to try and throw in some spice into, you know, the playoffs and kind of change things up a bit, but no one likes it. No one who watches basketball seriously is gonna like it. Fans are gonna get mad. I'm mad thinking about it, and my team isn't even gonna make the playoffs. So, playing around, get rid of it. I wouldn't say whoever came up with it needs to get fired. I don't know if I would go that far, LeBron, but it certainly isn't the best look for the NBA.
To me, it just seems like added drama they don't need.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, it's you're like, with this season already having been like so many injuries, there's just so many teams have been torn apart of any chance of contending for the playoffs because of COVID, because of COVID protocols, because of injuries. To add a play-in round where players already only had, if you played in the bubble playoffs last year, you had maybe 3 months to 4 months to get ready for this season. Like, no time at all, especially with free agency and trades and all that. It's no wonder why so many injuries have taken place this season. And I have a bad feeling that something like a one-off winner-takes-all style game to get into the playoffs is just chaos kind of waiting to happen.
It seems like a good idea in retrospect, but at the same time, like you said, I mean, that one off, the fact that the loser, if it is even one of those higher seeds, doesn't really get anything out of it. And it's just another game to risk injury to any of the star players in the league. Like, imagine the absolute trash that will come down on the NBA if the Lakers end up in that seventh spot and have to play a play-in game, and then LeBron suffers a career-ending injury in the one-off play-in game. Like, it's going to be a storm. Yeah, I just don't think that it's a smart idea, and I don't know what the NBA was thinking.
I mean, in a season where we've already had, like, tons of injuries. I mean, Jamal Murray is a young player who tore his ACL. We've had a lot of ACL tears, a lot of lower leg injuries. And you got to think, I mean, with the bubble having been only a few months prior to the season starting, a lot of players and the Players Association tried really hard to get this season pushed back a little further and to have lesser games played. I just don't think it was a good timing to throw in a play-in round. I don't think it was the right idea. I don't think that they thought it out enough for how this affects players, for how it affects teams that have already scrapped to get that play in to that playoff spot. It just doesn't make sense to me at all. I don't think the NBA is going to get rid of it. The owners have pretty much already said it's not going anywhere, which I think is totally unfair, kind of bullshit. But I don't get it. You're risking your players' health. And when teams like the Denver Nuggets lose one of their best players in Jamal Murray this close to the playoffs solely because you know that he didn't get enough rest time in the offseason, kind of makes you wonder what the point of a play-in round would do. Taking a look at kind of some impressive stat news, Westbrook, Russell Westbrook, has officially broken Oscar Robertson's triple-double record after recording his 182nd triple-double in the Wizards' 125-124 loss to the Atlanta Hawks. Robertson set the record on March 24th, 1974, where it stood until this year. I mean, say what you want about Westbrook. He might not be everyone's favorite player, but you can't doubt his heart. And Lita, I believe you also had some impressive stat news for us.
Yeah, actually, Carmelo Anthony last week became the 10th top all-time scorer in the NBA, passing Elvin Haynes. And Tuesday this week, the Blazers actually helped him celebrate. They surprised him with his own custom hoop. And his teammates even gathered together and started wearing shirts that read ME10 or Mello, which was really cute to see.
Gotta love that. I've loved Melo for years. You gotta hope that one of these days he might win a ring. I just have a very hard time believing he will. With that, let's quickly get to the Toronto Raptors. I mean, what's left of the Toronto Raptors. Tomorrow they will face the Chicago Bulls, but they're missing Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, and Fred VanVleet. I mean, the Raptors have just been riddled by injuries this season. They got hit really hard by COVID about halfway through the season. That really derailed their hopes of making the playoffs. Raptors fans, all I'm going to say is stay in there, you know, hold in as best you can, because I think next year you guys might make a bit more of a splash. Hopefully some free agents might want to sign up north, assuming you guys can even play in Toronto next year. Otherwise, it could be rough.
Yeah, it would be nice to play in our own country. That would be nice.
Yeah, and I think as a Raptors fan, I think the team itself definitely missed the electric crowd at Scotiabank Arena. I mean, second to none in the actual fan craziness, and having Jurassic Park out front and all of that goes along with a Raptors game. So I think if they can play at home and they can bring in a couple free agents to help out, I think that the team can definitely bounce back. And I know one thing that Raptors fans will never forget, and 2 years ago today, this happened.
Got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're Philly.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
No!
Game! Series! Toronto has won!
So keep your hope ups, Raptors fans. There's always next year.
Awesome. Looking forward to the Raptors next season. And a lot of fans in Buffalo are looking forward to next season as well. Jack Eichel voicing his concerns about his health and the disconnect between him and the organization. He spoke about it in an interview, and we've got the clip here. So take a listen.
You know, for sure, I would say I've been a bit upset about the way that things have been handled since I've been hurt. So yeah, I think that there's been a bit of a disconnect, I think, from the organization a bit and myself. And, you know, it's been tough at times, but you know, right now for me, I think the most important thing is just trying to get healthy and figure out a way to be available to play hockey next year. You know, wherever that might be. I mean, you know, the losing stuff, it takes a toll. I think it's all perspective, and yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. My main and number one focus has been to try and figure out a way to, you know, one, be cleared to play, and two, just try and get myself in as good of condition to be ready to have a good year next year.
So you can already tell right away, you know, he's upset and he's really just focusing on getting healthy first. I know Kevin Adams, the GM for Buffalo, said Jack did not request a trade. So that's good news. Hopefully he sticks it around for his contract. Maybe he'll end up in New York. Maybe he'll end up in Boston. Who knows? But some big history happened in the NHL as well, with Connor McDavid scoring 100 points in 52 games. It was an incredible game to watch, Eric. What were your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, knowing that he was so close with only three or four games left in the regular season heading into that game the other night, I tuned into the game just to see how many points he would get. And not even like a minute in, he scores a goal. And I was like, okay, this is going to be it. He's going to get it tonight. And sure enough, it was like halfway through the second period that he already had the 4 points. He had 100 points in 52 games, and he's since then in multiple games he's scored another couple points. He's up to 104 points on the season with I think one more game left, if not two. So it's definitely been an absolutely incredible season by Connor McDavid, and I just love watching that guy play, because anytime he has the puck, it's just absolute magic.
Crazy to see him play so well in his prime. Looking forward to seeing where he goes and what he can do in the future. Stick around, because we got more exciting stuff in the sports world in the next segment. We're going to be talking some NFL news as well as some hard-hitting boxing news. So stick around to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Very nice.
All right.
Boom.
Bravo, bravo.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
And we are back here in the Press Box, and our boxing expert, Lita, is here to fill us in on all the craziness that was this past weekend in boxing and a look ahead at some crazy fights that are coming up. What's going on in the boxing world, Lita?
A lot is going on in the boxing world, guys. This past weekend, Canelo Alvarez did what he set out to do, and he unified the super middleweight belts almost by defeating Billy Joe Saunders. So with that main match, I mean, let's start with the obvious. There were tons of fans in the audience, guys. I'm talking 73,126 fans live and in attendance to see this fight. And the entire card was absolutely fantastic. Just before diving into the main here, I do just want to touch on what happened between the Soto and Takayama fight. That was for the light flyweight championship, with Soto being the belt holder. But what was crazy about this fight is that it had a controversial stoppage. So it started off with Soto throwing insane power shots at Takayama. Takayama, he's been in the game forever, and he was taking these like the former champion he was. He had his speed still behind him, and just as he was getting ready to rally later in the fight, they stopped the match right when he was getting his flow. He was starting to actually slow down Soto, and you could tell that he was getting frustrated. So boxing is a little torn on the results of that. It wouldn't surprise me if that goes to a rematch down the line, but this main event, I mean, if you've been paying attention, Billy Joe has been talking a lot of smack towards Canelo Alvarez. And Canelo Alvarez, he's kept his cool, and he went and did exactly what he said he would do. I mean, this was your classic regular fighter versus a southpaw, and Saunders had his wide stance, which he's known for. And I mean, Canelo was able to get in there. Crazy powerful body shots, guys. You could hear these things landing throughout the stadium, and it was kind of weird because you had a similar thing happen like in the Soto and Takayama fight. Billy Joe started off really slow. He started gaining his momentum around the fifth round, and around the sixth, Billy Joe even did his Tyson Fury move by sticking out his tongue. And by the eighth, Canelo even started to slow down. And he's known for his endurance and his ability to just keep going. And suddenly, just when you think this fight is heating up, a crazy shot gets landed on Billy Joe Saunders' face. He stays in there, but he obviously was hurt. He took a step back and his eye was immediately swelling. He stayed in there and kept fighting, but once he got back to his corner, the eye wouldn't open. So while Canelo is standing in his corner, super proud, ready to go, still wanting to fight, looking for that knockout, Saunders is beaten on his seat. He cannot stand up from his stool. His team ends up calling it, and it turns out that he sustained a broken orbital bone in three different places and had to have emergency surgery shortly after the match. So it was a fantastic fight to see. But the next one that you got to keep your eye out for is going to be Canelo versus Caleb Plant. Plant is the last champion standing in the division at that weight level, and he's the last one standing in Canelo's way of unifying those belts completely. Now, thankfully, we do have another fight to hold us over until that one gets scheduled. May 15th, we have Neri versus Figueroa. They will be putting their WBC and WBA junior featherweight titles on the line. Both are undefeated coming into this fight. Neri is 26. He won his WBC title in September 2020 by unanimous decision. He's 31-0 with 24 by way of knockout. Figueroa, he's 24, and he won his title by making his opponent quit in the eighth round back in 2019. He's 21-0-1 with 16 by way of knockouts. He also has a slight reach advantage. Both have been inactive since September of 2020. So they're coming in well-rested. However, if I had to call this, I've got to go with Neri. He seems more hungry for this belt, and he has more power behind him.
That is a lot of hype for the boxing, and I've said it time and time again. I'm not a huge boxing guy, but I think just because of how hyped you have brought in, how much hype you have brought into the boxing world, I really have to find a way to watch some of these fights because it sounds like it's absolutely incredible.
Oh, they are completely. And I mean, this Neri and Figueroa fight, that one's going to be with hands flying fast. So action packed for sure.
That's incredible. It sounds absolutely amazing. Now, moving on.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box here on CKDJ 107.9. It's time to catch up with our home team away from home, the Blue Jays. Zach, you have an update on that, right?
That's right. Unfortunately, they lost their first two games against the Oakland Athletics, but they came back harder with a 9-4 and a 10-4 win back-to-back. They lost against the Astros, but then they beat them and then lost again. So a little bit of back and forth. And then they beat the Braves 5-3 this past Tuesday and are looking to upset them again this afternoon at 12:20. Now, last week, I spoke about a Blue Jays pitching prospect, Nate Pearson, possibly getting called up. And he did on Sunday against Houston, and the Jays lost 7-4. But it's not entirely his fault. You know, it was his first game back, and he couldn't find his groove in this game. He got no strikeouts, 5 walks. It was a less than exciting debut from this season, but there will be other games. I wouldn't count this guy out just yet. The Jays still got plenty of games to play this summer. We're third in the AL East right now, and just one win away from being tied with those New York Yankees, and sixth in the entire American League. Also, can someone explain why the Jays are in the American League and not the National one? I honestly don't know.
You know what? I mean, it goes to the talk of some of these leagues like the MLB and even the NFL, where the best example is you have two teams in places like LA and New York, and they're in completely different divisions or completely different conferences. Or like, I mean, the Yankees are in the AL, but the Mets are in the NL. And I mean, the same thing with the Jets and the Giants. And then down in LA, the Dodgers are in the NL, but the Angels are in the AL. It makes no sense how they figure out these divisions and how they figure out these conferences and all that. But I mean, I just think, okay, well, the Blue Jays, yeah, they're in the same division as the Orioles, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Rays. That's all I need to know. I don't really care what they call it. Just as long as we can dominate those teams, that's my goal for the end of the year for them, obviously.
And it's looking good, right? I mean, the teams, you know, like they're getting wins, they're getting losses. They're going to get that stride eventually, I feel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the talent that's on this team, if everyone can get healthy, including George Springer, who's had a up and down start to the season, missing the first bunch of games, coming back, basically playing, I think it was 2.5 games and then getting re-injured and being out again. It's one of those things where the thing that a lot of people have to realize, and I think a lot of casual baseball fans who are, I'm a Blue Jays fan because I'm Canadian, don't realize, is the fact that the Blue Jays, their season's 162 games. We're not even like a quarter of the way through the season so far. Like, it's, there's so many games left to play. So there's a lot of runway. And if they can keep close to the Yankees and whoever else in the AL East, there's anything can happen down the stretch. Cause I find most people don't start to really ramp up and distance themselves in these divisions in Major League Baseball until after the All-Star break, which is usually the middle of the summer. So I think if they can kind of hit their stride heading into the All-Star break and continue it down the stretch, I think they'll be in a really good position to possibly make the playoffs this year and maybe even do some damage.
Yeah, here's hoping they fly all the way to the playoffs this year. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I think one of the things that would be nice is, yes, they're going to be playing in Buffalo starting in a couple weeks, but if they can somehow allow them to play the playoff games in Toronto, that would be fantastic. I mean, we all know the disaster that is the vaccine rollout in Canada, but if they can allow minimal or half capacity or something for some of these games, it would just mean so much more than playing it at a minor league stadium in Buffalo. But I mean, like you said, they play against the Braves this afternoon. They have a three-game series Friday to Sunday versus the Phillies, and then they have another three-game series Tuesday to Thursday next week against the Red Sox. So I mean, that series is going to be huge because all those teams are battling for positioning in the AL East with Boston and Toronto. So I think it's going to be an exciting season. And with these prospects, I mean, Nate Pearson, he had a bit of a rough go in his first MLB start this year, but he's definitely got the arm to do some damage in the MLB this year. Now, the moment that everybody tunes in, what?
You're stealing my part, man. Am I not doing this bit?
Oh yeah, sorry. My bad. I got carried away. It's all right. Go ahead.
Stealing my job, man. Stealing my job. All right. And on that note, Zach, if I were looking to place some bets this weekend, which bets should I be making?
Well, just to touch on last week, we went 1-3 in a week. I was so confident we'd go 4-0. Unfortunately, this week, we're going to have to make some safer, less exciting bets. And just to touch on our total record, we're 15-14 after 8 episodes. So this week, we're looking to get some really safer bets with a little less action, but we're just looking to up our record here and make some money. We're going to start with the money line bet. The Minnesota Wild is taking on the St. Louis Blues, and Minnesota is 4-0 in their last 4 road games and 20-8 in their last 28 games following a win. And St. Louis is 0-6 in their last 6 games overall. So I'm feeling pretty confident Minnesota is going to win this because St. Louis has nothing but pride, contract obligations, and momentum to play for, while Minnesota has an outside chance of hosting their playoff series if Colorado loses their next 2 games. We're also not getting a bad price in the Wild either, so I'm taking Minnesota here. For my over-under pick, I have the Colorado Avalanche and the Los Angeles Kings scoring under 6.5 goals between the Kings and the Avalanche. My reasoning for this is the rivalry has been real intense this year between these two teams, and this will be the last game of the season for these teams, and it'll be the second game back-to-back against each other. If Wednesday night's game was a blowout, then this would be a tighter contest. And for my handicap and spread pick, I'm going to the NBA with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are far and away the better team in this one, and I know I've spoken ill about the Timberwolves before and it's cost me, but this time I'm backing a more reliable team than the Golden State Warriors. Most of the games between Denver and Minnesota have gone well in the Nuggets' favor, and I don't see that changing here. My handicap / spread pick this week is the Denver Nuggets beating Minnesota with a minus handicap. And for the final bonus pick of the week, we're going straight to Saturday for the playoff opener between the Boston Bruins and the Washington Capitals. What a game to start the playoffs this year, guys. Two teams who could potentially win it all going head-to-head in the first round. This season, the record between these two teams are split 4-4. So for this one, I'm going with the team with more firepower, and that's Boston. Vanacek is good, but Rask can be really good. And with Boston's top 2 lines, it's going to be a long series for Washington. Washington's also a response type team, I feel. So if they do lose this one, expect the next game to go much differently. And my bonus pick for this week is a Boston Bruins money line against the Washington Capitals. What do you think, guys?
Ooh, those are some hot picks there. And I mean, that Nuggets versus Timberwolf pick, that could be the golden nugget right there.
Those are some pretty awesome picks. And that first game, even that full series between Boston Bruins and Washington Capitals is going to be exciting, because you know that Zdeno Chara is going to be looking to eliminate his former team in the first round. It would just be sweet justice for him to be able to be like, I moved on, I went to a different team, and we beat you out. But I think Boston's definitely got a good chance of taking that, at least that first game, because it's going to be incredible. And the Minnesota St. Louis game and the LA Colorado game, absolutely incredible. Great picks for sure.
All right, that's for us here at the Press Box. Be sure to join us back here next week, same place, same time. Until then, I'm Lita McLeod.
I'm Eric Fox.
I'm Zach Natto.
And we'll see you next time back here on CKDJ 107.9.